We're on Daf Kuf Gimel Amid Beis, and we're up to Rav Yossi Omer. It's about two thirds of the way down. The first word in the line is Ad. Rav Yossi Omer. This is the Brisa that we quoted earlier, and in the next section of the Brisa, Rav Yossi says V'osa Achas V'osa Heina. How do we reconcile the fact that Achas means you did a complete Malacha, and Heina means you did part of a Malacha? Is Pomim Shechayev Achas al Kulam, Pomim Shechayev al Kol Achas V'Achas. In other words, depending upon whether you violated many Malachas in one Halama or in separate Halamas, that will determine whether you bring one Chatos or many Chatos. Om Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, my time with Rabbi Yossi, how does he understand the Pesukim? Achas Me'achas. Right, the pasuk could have said v'asa me'achas, and instead the mem was sort of pushed off and lifted to mehena, hena mehena. So this is going to teach us achas shehena, that there's one that is like many, because if the mem wasn't there, it would have said one, and a transgression of one commandment. But it's considered like a transgression of them, meaning many commandments. Vehena she achas. And then there's a case where he violates hena, which is a plural, many transgressions, and it's tantamount to one transgression. And Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina is going to now elaborate on each one of these derivations from the superfluous mem. And again, it's all based on different readings of the pasuk. I mean, we could read it as he will do one desecration of the Shabbos. That's called v'asa achas, but he's judged as hena, as if he had done many transgressions, multiple transgressions, that he brings multiple chatos. Or you could read the pasuk as v'asa achas, he does that which is considered one violation, even though he transgressed hena. So Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, will explain each of these different laws and how they apply. So he says the following, achas shimon. In other words, if you didn't have the mem of me'achas, then you would be chayv only if he wrote the entire Shimon, which is what he had in mind to do. But Me'achas, the Mem is telling me that even if he does Me'achas, some part of Shimon, he's also going to be Chayv, and that's called Shem Mishimon. So he only did part of the Malach that he intended to do, but nevertheless he's Chayv Achatos. On the other hand, the word Achas tells me to limit his chiyuv to case where he acted as though he wanted to do, and that which is viable based on his own intention. So he's going to be chayev for writing two letters, despite the fact that his intention was to write the entire word Shimon. And that's going to be derived from the mem of me'achas, and that's called Shem Mishimon. Hena, the word hena, which indicates that we're talking about avos. Hena is avos. Mehena, which means amongst them, which is coming to be marbe something, that's toldos. That's the ribui of toldos. Achas shi hena. Now we go on to understand the relationship between the achas and the hena. So achas shi hena means he violated one transgression, but it's considered hena as if he had violated numerous malachos. That's going to be the case of Zdon Shabbos, where he knew it was Shabbos, but Shigas Malachos, he was unaware of the malachos. And that's going to be considered like hena, as if he had violated many malachos, and therefore he brings many chatos. But on the other hand, hena shi achas, when is it a case where he violated many transgressions, but it's considered like he violated only one? That would be a case of Shigas Shabbos, Uzdon Malachos. and he only brings one chatas in this case, even though we have Heina, he violated numerous malachos. Now we get back to our Mishnah, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Matsinu Shem Katan Mishem Gadol. Right, he gave an example of Shem Mishimon, where he intended to write an entire word, and he only wrote two letters. And those two letters form what we call a Shem Katan, a short word. So the Gemara asks, Mi Dami, is the Shem of Shimon really similar to the first two letters of Shimon? Mem de Shem Sasur. And Mem de Shimon Pasuach, right? We have two types of Mems. We have the closed Mem, which we call the Mem Sofit. And we have a Mem Pasuach, which is a Mem in the middle of a word. Now, if he meant to, if he's chayav for writing the word Shem, then that Mem would have to be a Mem Sasur. And yet he wrote Shem Mishimon, so presumably he wrote a Mem Pasuach. Om Rav Chizda is also Meris. This can have implications even for the writing of a Sefer Torah. Is Sasam Vasam Pasuach Kosher, that the two Mems are interchangeable. And even if you need a Mem Sasum, but instead you wrote a Pasuach, it still is considered to be a Kosher letter, and it's a letter that's Sasum. And therefore he wrote Shem, even though it's Pasuach, and he meant, and he needed a Sasum, but even though he made a Sasum in a Pasuach, that's okay and that's viable. Now let's see what the sources will tell us about a Sefer Torah, or perhaps Tefillin or Mezuzahs, where he made that switch from a Mem Pasuach to a Mem Sasum. Meisvei, we have a source in a Braisa. And the Braisa darshins the pasuk Uksav Tam. In Sefer Dvarim it says Uksav Tam, and that's going to teach us Shetehei Ksiva Tama, that when he writes Tefillin or Mezuzahs, the script, the Ksiva, should be perfect. Tama. Tama means perfect. And this halach of Ksiva Tama is going to be codified in Yoredeya as validating a perfect writing, a perfect ksav, or script. Shelo yichtov alfin einin, einin alfin. So first of all, it excludes or disqualifies a case where he switches an ayin for an aleph or vice versa. So the word uksavtam is read as if it was split into two, ksav tam, a perfect writing. And a mezuzah and tefillin, which is the context of that posuk, require a ksav, a script that is perfect, in order to be legally valid. Now, as far as Sifrei Torah is concerned, we're going to use the same posuk to determine invalidation of a Sefer Torah in the case where he switched letters. Now he has basin, kafin, kafin, basin. There are two letters that are very similar, the chaf and the beis. And if he switches one for the other, that also is going to undermine the validity of the Sefer Torah. It's going to be possible under Ksiva Tama. Right, if you take a look at the bays, there's an appendage at the lower right part, whereas the chaf is completely round. It doesn't have anything shooting out. And therefore the sofer has to be absolutely careful that the bays is written as a bays with that protrusion in the lower right side, whereas the chaf is completely rounded. Now, getting back for a moment to the case of Alfin Einin, sometimes, Rashi says, a sofer could easily confuse the ayin and the aleph. And that's because they sound similar. But many Rishonim reject Rashi's explanation. It's obvious that you don't switch an aleph or an ayin. We don't need to derive that from the halacha of Ksiva Tama. So therefore they interpret the Braisa in a different way. And what they're referring to is the lower leg of the Aleph should be connected to the stem of the Aleph. If it's unattached, then it looks like an ayin. Not exactly like an ayin, but maybe like a reversed ayin. So if you take a look at the Aleph, and you take a look at the ayin, you'll see a certain similarity in the shape. The problem is that the Aleph has to have that lower leg that attaches to the stem. If it's missing, then you have something that really looks like an ayin. And that's going to be something that we have to warn the scribes, you know, make sure that the Sofrim are very careful to attach that, we'll call it a leg, to the stem so that it shouldn't look like an ayin. Next on the list, we have Gamin, Tzadin, Tzadin Gamin. So we're talking about a Tzadi and a Gimel. Now if you take a look at a Tzadi and a Gimel, there's also a certain similarity, except that the Gimel has a protrusion on the lower left, the Tzadi has a protrusion on the upper right. Now, if you were to write a Gimel inverted, it would look like a straight Tzadi. The end Tzadi, I'm talking about Tzadi Sofis. So once again, we have to have a careful distinction, and if you're writing a tzadi, you know, don't attach the upper arm to the stem, because otherwise the stem and the base might resemble a gimel. And then we have dalsin, reishin, reishin, dalad. Dalad and reish are very similar. The only difference is that in the case of the dalad, there's a roof that protrudes beyond its leg. In the case of the reish, the roof must not protrude. Hayin, chesin, v'chesin, hayin. So the similarity here between a hey and a ches, because the left leg of the hey cannot be attached to the roof, then it begins to look like a ches. So that's the difference between a hey and a ches. You know, it has that space in the middle. Vavin, yudin, yudin, vavin. And here it's only a question of the length. So you have to make sure that the yud is not too long, because then it looks like a vav. Zainin, nunin, nunin, zainin. Again, the similarity between the nun and the zayin. The zayin is basically a straight nun. And therefore the sofer has to be careful not to shorten the leg of the straight nun, because then it's going to look like a zayin. And we're going to derive from this that in stam, the leg of the straight nun must be attached to the middle of its roof, because only such a letter could be confused with the Zion. The very fact that there's a Havamina here that he might confuse. If the leg of the nun could be attached to the end of the roof, then the Braisa would not have bothered to worry about a confusion between these two letters. Tayson, Payfin, payfin, tayson. Make sure that you don't mistake a pay for a tes. These are very, very similar letters. The upper right arm of the tes is curved downward into the letter. And the right side of a tes resembles a pay. So if the sofer doesn't attach the left arm of the tes to the base, it will appear like the two letters pay and zion. And then we have kfufim, pshutim, pshutim, kfufim. We have bent letters and we have straight letters. So for example, the chaf, the pei, the tzadi, and the nun are curved letters. And if you would write any of those letters at the beginning of a word, or even in the middle of the word, if they're not curved but straight, then that would be confusing, because they only become straight, what we call langa nun, at the end of a word. So don't, you know, make a confusion between a letter that belongs in the middle of the word as opposed to one that belongs at the end of the word. And the bent letters belong in the middle of the word or at the beginning of the word, but certainly not at the end of the word. Memin, smachin, and smachin memin. And you shouldn't confuse a mem with a samach, because a closed mem, or what we call a final mem, is very similar to a samach, just that the mem is a little bit more square, the samach is round. So the sofer has to be very careful to make sure that the bottom of the samach is rounded, so it doesn't look like a final mem. And finally, last on the list, which is most relevant to us, is stumin psuchin and psuchin stumin. Not to confuse a closed letter with an open letter. So for example, the mem at the end of the word is closed, the mem in the beginning or the middle word is open. And it would seem that if the sofer was not careful and meticulous, and he violated any of the rules, and he confuses two letters, even one letter itself that's written improperly, the entire mezuzah tefillin or sefer Torah is possible, as we derive from Ksiva Tama. Let's just finish up the brisa. Parsha Psucha Lo Yasenu Stuma. This is already a different din. We're not talking about the letters and the tsuras ha'osios, but we're talking about stumos and psuchos. Stuma lo yaseru psucha. So we have a closed parsha in the Torah, and we have an open parsha in the Torah. And you're bound not to mix the two. So for example, you have psukim in the Torah that is separated from the next section by a blank space. And again, when we talk about space, we can talk about open ones or closed ones. And that's a tremendously complicated issue about the difference between a psucha and a stuma, but whatever it is, you cannot confuse the two. Furthermore, Kishira. A kshira is written in different blocks with spaces on each line. And if he took a regular section of the Torah and he wrote it as a shira, as a song, or the reverse, kosav as a shira kiyotzi ba, he wrote a song like Oz Yashir, the same way he would write the rest of the Sefer Torah without the special format that's required for a shira, then once again, that would undermine the viability of the Sefer Torah. In addition to Shir HaShirim that I mentioned before in Beshalach, we also have a section in Hazinu that has to be written in a special fashion as a Shira, but through a Shira with many extra spaces. In the cases of Tefillin and Mezuzah, I don't think we'll find any case of a Shira, to the best of my knowledge. And then he writes, O Shekosev is HaShira Kiyotzi Bazeh, O Shekosev Shalo Bidyo. Okay, we have a Loch Lemosh Misinai that a Sefer Torah has to be written with black ink, something that has a long-lasting permanence. It lasts, its color lasts, and any other ink of any other color is possible. So let's say you have one letter that's written with some substance other than black ink. The entire Sefer Torah is possible. Every os is ma'akev. Today we make ink for Sefer Torah by a combination of copper sulfate, gallnuts, gum arabic, and they all form some sort of stable, thick, black compound. And the Mishnah Berurah goes into great detail about this. So if he doesn't use dyo, it's going to pass the Sefer Torah even for one single letter. Osher Kosves Haskoros Bizahav. He wrote the names of Hashem with gold dust. And the truth is that gold dust will, as a substitute for ink, will passel any letter of the Sefer Torah. The Brisa specifically mentions Hashem's names because you might have thought that you want to demonstrate a special respect for God's name, so add some gold to it. But that would invalidate the Sefer Torah. Shekosav Haskoros Bizov, Harei Elu Yiganezu, all the above, any of the violations of the rules of Ksiva Tama would passel the Sefer Torah, and they require Gniza. And what it means is that in these cases, he cannot correct the Sefer Torah, and therefore he can't preserve the Sefer Torah. He has to put it away. Now, is it enough to remove one particular gilyon, one sheet of the parchment that has the faulty section? and then replace it with another gilyon, another sheet of parchment. And in that case, you'd be able to preserve the scroll. Now, here the Braisa divides up into two. The first half of the Braisa deals with faulty letters. And they don't require gniza. So if a letter is written incorrectly, you could erase it and correct it. And this is certainly true for Sifrei Torah. As far as Tefillah Mezuzah are concerned, there's another requirement, another stringency, l'chumra, that if you discover a faulty letter in the middle of a scroll, of a klaf, you cannot just simply erase it and correct it. But in any event, let's get to the second half of the Braisa. And here we're talking about letters and words. It is a violation of protocol in the last part of the Braisa. In other words, even though the letters and words are correctly, but you wrote it as a song, you used the wrong type of ink. Here we're not going to permit erasing and rewriting them. And there's a long discussion about this in the poskim. Now, if the names were written in gold, then for sure you're not allowed to erase that, because you're not allowed to erase the names of Hashem. That's a lav do raisa. Now, the requirement to hide away this geniza of a faulty section of the Sefer Torah, you know, whether or not it pertains to even the case of Psucha and Stuma, the open chapters or the closed chapters, that's already a machlokas rishonim between the Rambam and the Rivash. In any event, the bottom line is that we have a clear indication from this Braisa that a closed letter in place of an open letter is not valid. It passes the Sefer Torah under Ksiva Tama. So now we have a question on Rav Chisda. Right, because let's go back for a moment to Rav Chisda. And Rav Chisda said that in the case of Shem Mishimon, Sosom Eres, Sosom Vaso Pasuach, Koshi derives from the fact that Yechayef Hashem, even though it's a Mem Stuma, and your intention was to write the word Shimon, which would have required a Mem Psucha. So the grant says, Hudi Omar Ki Hai Tana. Rav Chisda has a different Tana to stand on the shoulders to stand on. The Sanya, we learned in a Braisa, Rav Yudha Ben Beseira Omer, Nemar Basheni Viniskeyem Bashishi Unisachel Bashvi Kimishpatam. Hare Mem Yud Mem. So we're looking now for an allusion in the Torah for the mitzvah of Nisach HaMayim, which the mitzvah takes place on Chag HaSukkos. And in Bamidbar Perek Chof Tes, when the Torah talks about the Musaf of Sukkos, there's a paragraph that's dedicated to each section, each day, in effect, of Sukkos. And each of these paragraphs includes the words Minchasa V'Niska. And this is the special Musaf offering that's brought in addition to the regular Tamid during Chag HaSukkos. Now, when you look at the word Viniska, which is identical in each paragraph, except for the one for the second day, and there it says Viniskehem in plural. And on the sixth day, it says Unisacheha. Now, every paragraph after the first one, in reference to the Musaf, says Uminchas Chamiskeim Kamishpat, in accordance with the law. In other words, the law that was set forth by the Torah in the first paragraph. But in the paragraph of the second day, instead of saying Kamishpat, it says Kamishpatam. So the Braisa notices all these changes, three changes all told, and tries to explain them. And the Braisa says, Are a mem, yud, mem. There are three extra letters, and they form the word mayim. Mikan remez l'nisuch mayim in Torah. So this is going to be an allusion to the mitzvah of the water libations that are performed every day of Sukkos. Now, if you take a look at the extra mem in the word viniskehem, that's a mem sgura. That's a closed mem, or stuma. And if that word is meant to be, I'm sorry, that letter is meant to be the first letter of the word mayim, Mayim requires a psucha, the mem of Mayim, first mem. Umida posach vaso sosum, kosher, apparently, even though the word v'niskehem has the extra mem, which is a closed mem, and he used it as a replacement for what should have been a pasuach, so he took a pasuach, which would be the first mem of mayim, and he made it into a sosum. Is the reverse should also be true, that sosum nami is sosum asom pasuach kosher. Basically, a sosum and a pasuach are interchangeable, and that seems to be Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra's underlying assumption here, his premise in the Braisa. So the Gemara challenges this and says, Midami, pasuach vasos sosum. The case of the mem of v'niskehem that's being used to substitute for the mem of mayim. So he took a sosum and he replaced a pasuach. Now we're on Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph. That's aluye kam aluye. That's elevating it, you know, with an upgrade. The Yom Rav Chiz, the mem v'samach shebeluchos b'nes hayu omer. There was a great miracle in the mem and the samach, which were closed round letters, and somehow they stood in midair. You know, we mean you chisel at the middle of the letter, and yet the letter would still stand. So that's a chashivus of a nes in the luchos abris with the mem stuma. So therefore, if he substitutes a mem stuma in place of what really should have been a mem psucha, he is upgrading the mem. But el asasim vasam pasuach, in the reverse case, where he needed, in order to write the word shem, a mem stuma, and instead he wrote a mem psucha, writing Shimon as it was. The mem for Shimon is grue gari magari le. He's downgrading the level of the letter. The Omer Rab Yirmiya v'item Rab Chia bar Abba Mantzabach Sofim Amarum. And Mantzabach is mem nun tzadi pei chaf. And these were instituted by the Nevi'im. Tzofim are the Nevi'im. So the open mem is a takonis ha-Nevi'im. On a Doraisa level, we need a mem stuma. So again, although you can have an open mem that was written closed, and that's okay because that's a luye alye, but to write a closed mem, like in the case of the word Shimon, where what he needs is a closed mem for the shame of Shimon to be a valid word, and instead he writes a small mem, I don't mean small, but I mean to say an open mem, so that should be invalid because he's downgrading the level of the letter. So the Gemara says that your understanding is difficult. Tisbara, is that really so? Vaksiv Eila mitzvos she'ein Novi Rashoi L'chadish Dov Miata. The very premise that it was the Nevi'im that created this letter Mem, a Mem Psucha, is problematic because after our Sinai, we don't make any changes in the Torah. That's one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim. And a Novi has no authority to introduce changes in the law of the Torah. Ella, but the Gemara says, mi havi. In other words, both forms of the letter mem, of these letters, mem, nun, tzadi, peh, and chav did exist at back in the time of Moshe, but may the lo avi yadinon hei ba'emtze teva hei b'sof teva. Somehow the Mesorah got lost as to which of the two letters, let's say, for example, the case of a mem, where it has the open mem and the closed mem, which of them belong in the middle of the word and which at the end of the word. Asu tzofim takininu. And here we need the prophets to clarify exactly the way this Mesorah was given, and which are the closed forms that belong in the end of the word, and the open forms that belong in the middle or the beginning of the word, and so forth. The Gemara still is upset. Vakati eila mitzvus ein novi rashoi l'chadish dover me'ato. Even if you're telling me that it was the Nevi'im that established where the letter should go, the closed one at the end and the open one in the middle, that's also a violation beyond the parameters of the authority of the Nevi'im. Ella, but we have to reformulate it a little bit differently. Shchachum v'chazu v'yistam, that they had forgotten, and the Nevi'im reminded us of what was given in the Mesorah. And if they're reminding us that the, you know, the form for a word in the middle of a word is different than the form of the word at the end of the word, that's something that's reminding us and reestablishing the correct Mesorah that the Nevi'im could do. And that's not a violation of Einan Novi Rashoy L'Charish Dover Me'ato. Gufa, what Rav Chisda said, that Ben V'Samach Shebeluchos Ben Nesha you owned him, the Omer Rav Chisda, Ksav Shebeluchos Nikra Mi Bifnim V'Nikra Mi Bachutz, an amazing miracle, that you could read the script, the text of the Luchos from both on the inside and the outside. In other words, whichever way you looked at it, it's as if the tablets were inscribed on both sides. Well, if that be the case, the letters and the words on one side would be seen in a different way on the other side. But this is the great miracle, that the letters were carved all the way straight through from one side to the other. Now, if that be the case, let's take the case of the Mem, or the Samach for that matter. Whichever way you look at the Mem or the Samach, if it's the same, because it goes through from one side to the other, What's the great miracle here? And the Gemara answers, could go nevuv buvan or bahar rahav. So that means that the word nevuv could be read on the other side as bovan, or the word bahar could be read as rahav. Or Soru could be read as Ras. Soru could be read as Veras. So what that means is that these words, which were not part of the Luchos, nevertheless, Rav Chisda gives us words that are found elsewhere in the Torah as examples. The word Nevuv, for example, Bar, appears in Shmos Perek of Zion, or Soru appears in Perek Lamed Beis of Shmos. And these are the examples of words that were not found on the Luchos at all. So let's just summarize Machlokas Tanoim with regard to the din of the Mishnah in a case where he writes a Mem Pasuach instead of a Mem Sosum, and the Brises of the opinion then such a case, we cannot tolerate that exchange, that mistake, that's possible. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra writes that if you write a mem sosum in place of a mem pasuach, the sefer is kosher. And Rav Chisda says that from Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, we could prove that if you write a mem pasuach in place of a mem sosum, then the sefer is kosher. Now, as far as Rav Chisda, Mem v'samach shebeluchos b'nes hayu omdim, and we have that further clarification of Rav Chisda with regard to the ksav shebeluchos that could be read bifnim and mibachutz. Hainu shahoya nitan likro es haksav mishnei ivrei aluchos. You could read the script from both sides, the front and the back. Ela shemi evra sheni hayu osios hafuchos vateva fucha. So from the other side, you would see the letters going in the opposite direction, and the entire word was hafucha, was going the wrong direction. So what you would do if you read it on from the other side, you'd have to read it misofa l'tchilos, you'd have to read it backwards. Like, for example, if you have the case of the word nevuv, on the other side you would read it as buban, not because you're just simply switching the letters around. The nun at the beginning of nevuv now becomes replaced by the beis, which at the end of nevuv. And that makes you the letter buvan. And again, other examples like bahar, which is going to be read rahav. If you read it backwards, asoru is going to be read veres. Now, since the chakika, the chiseling out of the letters and the script of the luchos had to be no keves, it had to penetrate through the entire thickness of the tabernacle, of the luach, from one side to the other, then it must be that the Mem and the Samach were Omdos Bines, because the middle part, which is airspace that's been chiseled out, must be suspended in the air. And this, Rabbosai, leads us to the great Agadita, which we're about to start in Mirz Hashem tomorrow, and that's the Agadita, very famous Agadita of the Osios of the Torah, the Chaf Beis Osios at Torah, and what they symbolize. So we're up to Daf Kuf Dalid Omer Aleph, and the two dots, Amri Le Rabbanon Le Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi, approximately 15 lines down from the top of the Omer.